Okay, well, look, what I want to do is talk a little bit about baptism before we actually plunge you into the water. Don't worry, you will come out again. And if you don't, there's nothing to worry about because you're going to go straight to heaven. All right? So there's no worries at all. It's all cool. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes things aren't obvious to me. I'm one of those people that I don't always get it first time. And sometimes we look at something and we just can't see what is right before us. And we just need help for somebody to come along and explain it to us. Now, this is my problem. I can't do this. It doesn't matter how hard I try. If I go and get a flat pack, I need help. Sarah, my wife, she can see it. She says, put it here. And I would be there for ages. In fact, I'll probably come up with something totally different. And it won't look anything. Or it might work for about a fortnight, and then it'll start falling apart. But I just can't get these flat pack plans. And sometimes, though, it's staring you in the face. We just sometimes do need somebody to come along and help us. And there's a story in the Bible about somebody who was reading the Bible for the first time, and he just couldn't get it. Now, that's what happened to me when I first started reading the Bible for the first time. I thought I couldn't make head or sense of it. And somebody needed to come along and help me. There's a story in the Bible how God sent a guy called Philip to go and help somebody, one of the first converts in the Bible who actually got baptized. And God said to Philip, he says, go down to the Gaza Strip near the West Bank. You've seen it on the news a lot. You might not have been there, but it's always on the telly these days. And he says, go down there because there's somebody I want you to meet. So he runs down and he comes across a very important Ethiopian, a very well-known Ethiopian. And he happened to be the treasurer of the Ethiopia working on behalf of the queen. And Philip goes alongside, and all of those, you know that's who that is, good runner. And so he runs alongside this Ethiopian, and as he runs alongside the chariot, he can hear this Ethiopian reading from a passage of the Old Testament. And Philip says to him, do you know what it means? And he says this, just like me and Flatpak, how can I unless somebody explains it to me? It's just double Dutch. It's like Greek, although actually it was Hebrew. But it's just like Greek to me, and I need somebody. So Philip jumps up onto his chariot and begins to explain this passage. And here's the passage. It says this. It was found in Isaiah chapter 3. Now, this passage of Scripture is a prediction of what is going to happen to Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior, the Deliverer. And it was written 700 years before Jesus ever was born. Imagine this. Okay, this is a bit, just help me get a picture here. Imagine somebody in the 1300s, King Edward I, right, the 1300s, predicts the rise of Nelson Mandela and his crusade to deliver his people from apartheid, the fact that Ian gets unjustly arrested, unjustly tried, goes to prison for 20 years, and then gets released, and all of his people get delivered. Imagine if somebody in the 13th century, actually predicted that with amazing accuracy. That's what this is like. So it's speaking about Jesus. It says he was led like a sheep to the slaughter. As a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. And Philip began to explain that this is a prophecy about Jesus who was arrested falsely. Do you know that over 11 laws were broken when Jesus was arrested? It's illegal to be arrested at night, for example, and he was arrested at night. It was illegal to condemn a man to his death without having a 3-day prayer and fasting and total retrial, and he was. Yet he never claimed any of his rights. He remained silent before his accusers. And those of you who have read the story or seen Jesus of Nazareth, Mel Gibson version or any other version, you'll see Pontius Pilate speaking to Jesus and says, and he's quizzing him questions, he says absolutely nothing. And he says, why aren't you answering me? Don't you realize I've got the power to condemn you to death? And he was silent before his accusers. He was humiliated and received no justice. It was a phony trial. He was set up. He was humiliated in the beatings and the whippings. Actually, when he died on the cross, he was stripped naked. It was the most humiliating, barbaric, inhuman death that Jesus had to suffer. And then it says his life was taken from the earth. So you've got this prophecy predicting 700 years that the Messiah, the deliverer, the savior, the one that God was going to send to help us, was going to be falsely accused. He wasn't going to claim his rights. He was going to be humiliated, and he was going to be put to death 700 years before it happened. It's amazing amounts of evidence in the Bible for Christianity, you know. And so, but the big question is, why? So then the Ethiopian eunuch probably asked this, because he didn't understand. He said, well, why? Why would the Savior, the Deliverer, have this? And then the next part of the verse says this: it was God's good plan. You see, Jesus didn't get arrested because the Romans got him. He knew exactly what was going to happen, and he was working towards a plan. And what was the plan? His life was made an offering for sin. So in other words, it was a trade. It's like Jesus gets punished for the things that we've done wrong. It's a trade-in. I'll give my life. I've never sinned, Father. I've never done anything wrong. I've always walked in obedience to you and loved you and done everything you've asked. I'll give my life so the people who haven't loved you, haven't done everything you asked, have messed up, have done wrong, which is all of us, can be forgiven. And that was, he was an offering for sin. But then it goes on to say, remarkably, you know, in the verse before, it says that his life was taken from him. Then there's a mysterious twist, because it says he will enjoy long life. Well, how can that happen? How can, on the one hand, his life be taken from him in his prime when he's 33 years old, and yet live a long life? I mean, I'm 50 years old next week. Don't say you don't look. Come on. Yeah, thank you, Angela. I'm 50 years old next week. If I died next week, I would actually think that my life was taking short. I think I've got a lot of years left. It's still short life, isn't it? My sister died at 46. That's a short life. Short life. Jesus died at 33. It says his life was taken from him, and here it says he's going to have a long life. Do you know what? That is prophesying the resurrection. Jesus is alive forever and ever as the sovereign God, as the one who can forgive us and change us. 700 years ago, the prophet predicted that he would be unjustly trialed and raised from the dead. How cool is that? It's a lot of evidence. This is astonishing. Astonishing prediction that came to pass. And then it says this, and this is one of my favorite verses: my servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous, for he will bear their sins. And this is what baptism is all about. These boys and girls and men and women have come to the place where they've actually believed that Jesus is real. They believe the evidence and done something about it and said, I'm going to follow Jesus and declare that fact publicly. And in so doing, they have been made righteous, even though none of us are, and they've been forgiven for their sins because Jesus bore our sins so that we didn't have to. That's what baptism symbolizes. And that's what it's all about. So after that, the Ethiopian eunuch saw the evidence, and there's a whole stack more. He believed, and he said to Philip, what stops me from getting baptized today? There's water, and they'd just gone past a stream. So they stopped the coach, and they got down, and he was baptized in the name of Jesus to symbolize before God and man that he believed in Christ, and he was going to follow him and receive forgiveness, place in heaven, and the powerful new life and change that Jesus brings. And that's what these guys are going to do today. And I want to encourage you, if you see the story and the power that this day brings, and this little talk has made you think that maybe there's more to this Bible stuff than meets the eye and this Jesus than I ever really realized, I want to encourage you that, hey, just like the Ethiopian was willing to go on a search, why don't you? Why don't you check it out? And you can come along any time. We have services here every Sunday, so you can come along as much or as little as you like to check it out. You can go online and listen to some of the talks or check it out. You could get a Bible and read it for yourselves and check it out. You could go on an Alpha course that we do from time to time and check it out. Because actually, the power of Jesus alive in somebody's life doesn't just forgive our sins and gives a place in heaven, but it changes our life because it's really good news for every one of us. And I want to encourage you to check it out, and you'll never regret it.